His holy name, for His love endures forever. His mercy's new today. We will enter with thanksgiving and fill His courts with praise. Come on, church, lift your voice and sing. Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord, everybody. Why don't we stand tonight? Good to be in service on a Sunday evening, amen. Man, God is so good. And I want to take just a couple of minutes here and say again how thank you so much for your generosity this morning. We went home the day after church and read every card that you guys wrote. Thanks for every kind note, any monetary gift. Thank you so much. And but there was one that I felt like I had to share before service that God led me. If you put that on the screen, please. I took a picture of that today. It's powerful. Hallelujah. Good God Almighty. God is a good God. He knows all things. Amen. I know who one of you are that got it for me. Some of you, I don't know who you are, but God keeps good records. You'll be a star in your crown, He told me to tell you. If you were here Wednesday night, you'd understand that. God bless you for that. Thank you. Thank you so much. God is good. Amen. I do want to say one thing before we get going tonight. We'll have a flyer on this on Wednesday night. Our Christmas banquet is coming up on, I believe that date, God forgive me, I believe it's December the 6th. That's a Saturday night at 5 p.m. And it's going to be $12 a person. It'll be a catered night. And you don't want to miss that. It's going to be a great night. POA, Pastor Mangan's Church in Alexandria, has a couple of guys, Bunch and Breeze. They'll be here that night. You don't want to miss. It's going to be a fun night of entertainment and food and fellowship. Don't miss December the 6th. And again, I'll have a flyer for that Wednesday night. We'll have a sign-up sheet on the desk. And please sign up for that. It's going to be a fun night here at the UPC of Paris and fellowship with God's great people. Amen? Amen. So good to be in service tonight. Brother Kelso is going to preach for us. It's going to be a great night here. Amen. Looking forward to that. Amen. I think it'd be good. Let's just lift our hands together and give God praise. Jesus, we love you. Thank you, Lord, for your goodness. Thank you for your mercy tonight. We pray the Holy Ghost, God, move tonight in a special way, Lord. Let your word, I pray, oh God, go forth tonight. God, let the anointing of the Lord destroy every yoke, Lord. Give us a divine move of your spirit, oh God, we pray. Come on, somebody say his name right now. It's the name of Jesus that breaks every chain, every yoke, every wall. Hallelujah. Worship with our team tonight.
His name is Jesus.
Tonight, my goodness. Ooh, hallelujah. I'm going to just get a few announcements out of the way real quickly. Tuesday, October 28th, we have Ladies United Fellowship at Studio PTX at 6 o'clock p.m. Speaker is going to be Wanda Armstrong. October 31st, Trunk or Treat, 6 to 8 p.m. I believe they're still looking for some volunteers for that, so get with Sister Candy Goforth and Sister Ryan and McGee. Also, it's supposed to be for a Christian-based theme, so if you're going to participate in that, please get a Christian-based decorations for your car. Also, at the Lake property, there's going to be, on November the 14th, a men's camp out, and Saturday the 15th, it's 2 days, men's breakfast, sign-up sheet. There's no cost. It's in the foyer. Please sign up for that. Praise God. We do have a prayer list up here tonight. Let's remember Sister Geraldine Osmus. Brother Ricky Brown, Sister Kenda Covey, James Covington, Sister Lois Dickey, Eric Dozier, Charity Emery, Kathy Fair, Dee Dee Freeland, Brother and Sister Griffith, Michael Malone, Georgia McCool, and Nita Smith. Praise God. If there's any other requests, just make it known by the lifting of your hand tonight. As we take these needs to the Lord, we're going to ask our ushers to come. Also, we're going to pray for our offering as we take this. If you got a need in your body tonight, hallelujah, there's a spirit of worship. There's a spirit of healing in this house. Come forward at this time if you need God's touch in your life. Let's take these needs to the Lord tonight. Jesus, we're so thankful, Lord, for your many mercies, God, your blessings in our life, God. We bring these needs to you, Lord, these needs of healing. Lord, we know that there's healing in your name. Lord, we just believe you tonight, God, to touch, Lord, each one, Lord, each name that we've mentioned, Lord, every unspoken request tonight. We also pray for the offering, Lord, that you bless it tonight, God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Praise God. Y'all give the Lord tonight. You won't forsake me. So good to see everybody here tonight. Amen. I've got a treat tonight. Amen. Especially great to see my mama in service with me tonight. Amen. Always great to have my mama here. Amen. Amen. I don't know where I would be today if it hadn't been the prayers of a praying mama. Amen. Praise the name of the Lord. I don't want to keep you very long tonight, amen, but I do want to give you what the Lord has laid upon my heart tonight. If you will, please turn in your Bibles to the book of 1 Samuel, chapter number 3. The book of Samuel, 1 Samuel, I'm sorry, 1 Samuel, chapter number 3. Beginning in verse number 1, the Bible says in 1 Samuel chapter number 3, verse 1, and the child Samuel ministered unto the Lord before Eli, and the word of the Lord was precious in those days. There was no open vision. And it came to pass at that time when Eli was laid down in his place and his eyes began to wax dim that he could not see. Verse 3 says, and ere the lamp of God went out in the temple, that word ere says, it means before. So before the lamp of God went out where the ark of God was and Samuel was laid down to sleep, we find that the Lord called Samuel and he answered, here am I. He called him three times. But upon the fourth time in verse number 9 says, therefore Eli said unto Samuel, go and lie down. And it shall be if he call thee that thou shalt say, speak Lord, for thy servant heareth. So Samuel went and lay down in his place and the Lord came and stood, called it at other times, Samuel, Samuel, and Samuel answered, speak, for thy servant heareth. And verse number 11 says, and the Lord said to Samuel, behold, I will do a thing in Israel at which both the ears of everyone that heareth shall tingle. Why don't we lay our Bibles down and ask the Lord to have his way in the service tonight? Can we? Lord, you're so wonderful tonight. God, you're beautiful tonight. Oh, there is none else like you, Lord. We thank you for your faithfulness, God.
I ask you tonight that I can be a willing and able vessel for you to use, God. I surrender my tongue to your authority, and I ask that you would confirm your word, which I'm showing here in this place. We give you praise and we give you glory in this place. We thank you. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. Clap your hand unto the Lord tonight. Amen. You can be seated. I want to back up a little bit in Exodus 27, verse number 20. The Bible says he specifically gave instructions about the lamp in the temple. It says in verse 20 of Exodus chapter 27, and thou shalt command the children of Israel that they bring the pure oil, olive beaten for the light, to cause the lamp to burn always. Somebody say always. Leviticus 24:4 in the King James Version says that he shall order the lamps upon the pure candlestick before the Lord continually. The NIV Version says that the lamps on the pure gold lampstand before the Lord must be tended continually. That means that every day, every hour, that somebody needs to be watching after the lampstand. Somebody needs to be watching after the flame on this lamp in the house of God, that it never goes out. Amen. Leviticus chapter 6, verse 13 says that the fire shall ever be burning upon the altar, that it shall never go out. And so reading these passages of scripture tonight, it leads me to believe that God had a very specific instruction for his temple, and that is that there was one thing that was never to cease in his temple, and that was the fire was to continuously be burning. So we find ourselves here tonight in the text of 1 Samuel. We find that Eli, the priest at that time, and Samuel, which was the son of Hannah, you know, the story, she prayed and said, Lord, give me a son, and if you'll give him to me, I'll dedicate him to the house of God, that he would serve you all the days of his life. And so we find him here as a young man in the temple, and he's simply following after the instruction of Eli, and he is watching Eli every day as he's living, and he's watching him perform his duties as a priest. He's watching him tend to the altar, and day in and day out, he watches as the sun begins to go down, that Eli makes his way down the hall, and he is beginning to add oil to the lamps, and he is beginning to trim the wicks and getting everything prepared for when the sun goes down. And he is instilling something in Samuel that says, I can never let the fire of the altar go out, and I can never let the fire of the candlestick before the Holy of Holies go out. You'll find in this particular verse of scripture that the Bible says that they had found themselves in an era of time where the word of the Lord was scarce, where there was no vision, amen. That means that there was hardly that God had ceased to speak to the prophet, that God had stopped talking to the priest. He had stopped giving visions, and visions weren't going forth. And so there wasn't really a whole lot that was happening in the house of the Lord. And so you can imagine, amen, that as time went on, that Eli, he began to grow tired and weary. And the Bible says that he had two sons, Hophni and Phinehas, however you say those names, amen. But the Bible says that they kept the doors, and they were sinful in the sight of the Lord, and they did evil things before the sight of the Lord. And we find that Eli, every day, he would bring sacrifices to cover their sins. instead of directly approaching his sons and saying, look, fellas, there's some things that you're doing in your life that are not lining up to the will of God, and you need to stop because God's not pleased with it, and so you need to discontinue those things. But the Bible says that day in and day out that they kept on doing things that were ill in the sight of the Lord. And every day we find Eli would offer up another sacrifice to keep those sins covered. We arrive here at 1 Samuel chapter 3 and verse number 1. And we find that it was on this day that they made a declaration that there has been a period of silence, that God has not spoken for some time. And so it's on this day we find whenever Eli is making his rounds for the night that he probably looks down the hall at the candlestick laying there, standing there before the Holy of Holies. And instead of making his way down there to add the oil or to trim the wick, I can imagine that he just looks and probably shrugs his head and lays down in his bed. Because the Bible says before the lamp of God went out, that meant that it was going to go out eventually. The Bible says that Eli had laid down his head, that his eyes were growing dim, and that Samuel had finally made his little pallet over there. And just probably as the light began to flicker out on that candle, after decades of silence of not hearing the voice of the Lord, suddenly there became a sound that thundered through the halls that only Samuel could hear, and it was the voice of God calling his name. Samuel, I don't know if you can see Samuel, but my light is beginning to flicker. The Bible says that four times, Samuel ran to Eli and said, what is it that you want? You keep calling me. And finally, Eli began to wake up and rub his eyes and finally came to his senses. Because after some time, there had not been the voice of the Lord that was spoken. So now he had to get in his right mind and say, hey, maybe God is speaking. He said, listen, Samuel, the next time that you hear somebody call your name, I want you to say, hey, this is Samuel, your servant heareth. What is it that you want me to do? The Bible says that we find when Samuel goes back and lays down for the fourth time, that it is on this time that the Lord begins to deal with Samuel and say, hey, there's some things that are in my temple that are going on that I'm not pleased with. I'm looking upon my great candlestick and I can see the light is smoldering. There's smoke that's coming from the lamp. My lamp is about to go out. I'm looking upon my altar and I can see the flames are beginning to smolder. Samuel, something has got to change in my temple. And so it is from this very moment that the Bible says that something begins to change. Amen. You see, whenever the power went out in the house of God, something has to change. I don't know about you, praise God, but whenever a storm comes, and you can probably read the news, and you know it's going to be a big one, you know it's going to be a bad one whenever they start giving out all these warnings and saying, well, there's probably going to be power outages, and you better get prepared, you need to get everything ready. I don't know about you, but have you ever been standing in your house and the power run out? Just boom, lights out, and you take off running through your house. I promise you, some things on your body will connect with some things in your house that will bring some pain pretty quick. Because you won't be able to identify where you're going. Amen. When the power goes out, you can't see anything. When the lights go out, you can't recognize where you're going or where you're headed. The same instance in the temple, that one of the main reasons why that this lamp was to stay lit is because this candlestick stood just outside of the Holy of Holies, where the Ark of the Covenant was, and it was to light the hallway in case one of the priests had to get up in the middle of the night, that he wouldn't stumble into the Holy of Holies and lose his life. Now, that sounds pretty awful, praise God, that if the power ran out in my house and I ran into something so bad that I lost my life. Amen. Sometimes I've stubbed my toe hard enough, I felt like I was going to lose my life. Amen. But there's something about when the power goes out and during a storm time that, I don't know about you, but we keep flashlights and people have lamps and things. That so when the lights go out, you know where those lights are because you're prepared and you know where your source of power is. You know where the lights are. And so when the lights go out, you know that you can't function. I don't know about you, but whenever the power goes out, what else goes out? The air goes out. And in the middle of July and August, you can't have the air go out. I'm going to tell you what, man, you ever go to a hotel and you know you messed up when you made it there, you know you forgot the fan. That's a bad deal. It's really bad. You know you got it real bad when you got to go down to Walmart and pay like 10, 15 bucks just to buy one, just to bring it back to the hotel. Amen. But there's some certain things that have got to be, that are essential, amen, that you've got to have. You see, nowadays there's homes, amen, that are built with these special types of plugs, and that when the power goes out, that sometimes you can go out and hit the switch of a button on a generator and not miss a single second. Sometimes there's even generators that are propane powered, amen, and then you won't even miss a lick whenever the lights just flicker. Your generator kicks on and you still have power in the house. It was on this specific time in 1 Samuel chapter 3 that we find that on this night specifically that the power had went out in the temple of the Lord. And now God has raised up a man and said, Samuel, I am going to raise up a priest because there's some things that Eli is doing that I'm not pleased with. You see, his carelessness and his just ways of doing things, I can't have that. Amen, because I've got to have the power in my house on at all times. I don't know about you tonight, amen, but whenever I walk into this house, I like it when the lights are on. And not only do I like it when the lights are on, but I like when I come in here and I can feel the power of the Holy Ghost moving in this place. If I walk into this building and I can't feel the power of the Holy Ghost, then I need to go somewhere else. Amen. I'm going to tell you something tonight, that I want to go where the power's on. I want to go where there's miracles. I want to go where the word of the Lord is preached. I want to go where the truth is preached. I want to go where the power's on. We got to keep the power on in the house of the Lord. We find that in this particular time that there was no vision. God's voice was silent, probably because of the amount of sin that was going on. Amen. You see, people stop hearing about miracles. People stop hearing about hearings. They stopped hearing the voice of God. Church, I don't know about you, but we're living in a day, we're living in an era of time. I don't know about you, but it feels like that the voice of God has been silent some just a little bit. Amen. And it just seems like maybe that you hear people talk about, man, you don't hear about miracles anymore. You don't really hear about the power of God moving anymore. Can I tell you what that is? That's that spirit of carelessness that says, hey, you don't have to trim the lamp tonight. You don't have to trim the lamp anymore. You don't have to go and pray anymore. You don't have to add oil to that lamp anymore. Amen. You see that the times of great movings and miracles of God is over. I've come to tell the devil tonight, amen, that he can shut his lies up, because I know for a fact that God's promises are forever settled. He may not come when I want him to, but I know that he's going to show up right on time. And when he does, he's going to have the power with him. Well, the days of dreams are over. The days of visions are over. The days of prophetic words from God are over. Can I tell you what the book of Acts says in chapter number 2, verse 17? And it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. And your sons and your daughters are going to prophesy. Your young men are going to see visions. And your old men are going to dream dreams. Let me tell you something, baby. You've come way too late to tell me that the days of visions are over, that the days of healing's over, that the days of dreams are over. We're living. This is the best time that you could ever live your life. People are living in an era where they say, well, the power's gone out. I've come to tell you something. You need to go over and get another vessel and trim the wick. And if you'll add a little bit of oil, I'm here to tell you, if you'll get that old stave and begin to stoke the fire of the altar and get that flame burning again, there's no telling what God can do. I remember not too long ago, I was in my backyard. And I've got a little burn ring out there. And man, I was burning some stuff, burning some wood. And out in the distance, I could see there was some black clouds. There was a storm that was probably fixing to make it. And I thought, man, I can probably get this stuff burned by the time that storm gets here. And so I began to burn, and I got everything burned. And so I walked out there, and I put a bunch of water on it. Thought, man, that's good. We're good. Do you know what happens to fire whenever coals start to form? If you don't get that thing completely saturated, I'm talking about for 20 minutes, 30 minutes, you better stand out. You better see water standing in that fire pit. Because I put just a little bit of water on it and I walked off. And about 10 minutes later, I come back and that storm had hit and the winds was blowing. And I looked out in that fire pit and embers began to start blowing. Something began to get in my heart and in my spirit at that very, very moment. You know, hey, listen, it don't matter how much that the enemy tried to dump on you and say they're trying to put your fire out. Can I tell you something? If you let the wind of the Holy Ghost blow over your spirit, then those old embers will start back up again. That old Holy Ghost will fire back up again, and you'll get your shout back. You'll get your fire back. You'll get your zeal back. We can't let the power go out in the house of God. My mind floats over to Matthew about the 10 virgins, 5 foolish and 5 wise. Can I tell you something? There were 5 that was walking around with some old musky oil, some old nasty oil in their lamp, just letting it burn and smoke. But there was 5 others that were with them that said, hey, amen, that old calling, we don't know what time the call's gonna come, but I'm going to make sure that I'm going to stay ready. And so just in case, I'm going to bring some extra wicks with me. I'm going to bring some extra oil with me. Can I tell you something? It might be all good on Sunday and everything's going great, but whenever Monday hits, you better have that extra cruise. You better have that extra oil. That'll get you ready. That'll get you through. God, I can't make it on Monday. I can't make it on Tuesday. The devil's whooping up on me too bad on Tuesday. God said, it's time to trim the wick. If you'll just add a little bit more oil, I'll let my fire burn. I'll let that Holy Ghost revive. You'll feel that power come over you. I'm sick and tired of the enemy trying to tell the apostolic church today, amen, that we're about to go through a power outage. I got news for the devil. Bring it on, because we got a generator waiting, and just as soon as them lights go to flickering, we're tapped into a power source that hell has never seen before. Hell saying, hey, there's a power outage coming. Your babies ain't never going to come back to church. Young people, you'll never amount to anything. Can I tell you something? You need to trim that wick. Say, devil, you're a liar in the name of Jesus. Let some of these elders begin to pour some of that oil over into your lamp and say, don't worry, you're going to make it. Don't worry, I'm not going to let the fire go out. I refuse to let the power go out. We're living in a day and in an hour where people are saying miracles don't happen anymore. I'm going to tell you something that happened to me a couple years ago. I was getting ready to preach a sermon. There was a close individual to us, and they had let the effects of suicide get a hold of them. And man, I didn't really know how to preach a suicidal sermon. I didn't really know how to preach a funeral. And we had been there, and we had been to the hospital, and everything looked bleak. Everything looked negative. And me, in my medical opinion, I knew that everything was negative, that there wasn't going to be any hope. Amen. I knew that I better get home and start preparing this message for this funeral that I was about to preach. I feel the Holy Ghost. Amen. And so I went home and I went into my bedroom and I got on the phone. I called a good preacher friend of mine and I said, hey, I said, would you give me some pointers on how to preach? Amen. What's some things to say on a suicidal sermon? We've got this close friend and they're going to pass away within the next day. And so he begins to give me pointers, and man, I'm scribbling down notes. And then all of a sudden, in the middle of his instruction, he turned on the phone and he said, wait a minute. He said, do you want to see a miracle happen? And I said, I would absolutely love to see a miracle happen. He said, well, what I want you to do, he said, I want you to hang this phone up. And when you hang this phone up, he said, I want you to kneel down in prayer. And he said, you and I are going to agree together that God is about to turn this thing around. And so I said, all right, I'll do it. And I hung the phone up and I began to bind the spirit of suicide and the spirit of death out of that hospital room. And suddenly, about 10 minutes into the prayer, my wife come by barging into the door and said, baby, we just got a call from the hospital. There's been some movement in her hands. She's starting to open her eyes. You've come too late to tell me God still don't work. Minutes later, after the phone call, amen, we get another phone call that said, hey, within the next hour, they're going to pull the tube. She's starting to talk. She wants to talk. Can I tell you, it ain't over till God said it's over. I said, it ain't over till God said it's over. The enemy's trying to lie to somebody in this house tonight that say it's over. The power's about to go out. I bind that voice in the name of Jesus. Whenever you're tapped into the source that I'm tapped into tonight, babies are coming back. Our loved ones are coming back. They're about to get the Holy Ghost. There's about to be healings that are about to take place that the devil said would never happen. Come on, somebody. Let's just begin to lift the Lord up for a minute, can we? I feel somebody's letting the Lord pour some fresh oil into them. Come on. Come on, church. The days of playing patty cake with the enemy are over. You say you're apostolic. It's time to start acting like we're apostolic. You don't understand what the doctor's report said. I'm going to tell you something. And I'm just going to tell it like this. You're going to get healed either in this life or when you get over there. But I promise you this, he's going to heal you one way or another. I told God, I said, listen. I said, it don't matter if you take all of my hearing that I have. I'm still going to worship you. I'm still going to praise you. Because I know that when I get over yonder, I'm going to be able to hear the voices of the saints saying, glory, glory, glory. Go ahead and stand with me if you're not standing. These altars are open right now. I want to ask you something tonight. If you feel like maybe that your flame is just kind of smoldering and maybe it's looking a little bit smoky and that you feel like maybe the power is about to go out in your life and the enemy's telling you that you ain't going to make it, I encourage you tonight. Boy, I feel this in the Holy Ghost. God is about to take that fresh oil and he's about to pour it into some vessels that are in this house tonight. Listen, you're letting too much keep you from getting plugged into the power source. You're letting too much keep you away from what God's trying to do in your life. You need to let it go right now. You need to put it under the blood right now. You need to give it to God right now. God said, I'm about to restore you. I'm about to refire you. I'm about to come on. I'm going to restore you. Come on, come on. Let the fire of my altar never burn out. Let the fire of this altar never burn out. Oh, come on. Come on. Come on, I feel the heat of the Holy Ghost in this place tonight. I'm telling you, the power's not going out in United Pentecostal Church of Paris. I can guarantee you that. Come on. Yeah, Somebody's getting some fresh oil right now. God's pouring some fresh oil into somebody right now. I feel this in the Holy Ghost. I want everybody right now to point your hands toward our pastor. I want everybody to stretch your arm toward our pastor and our pastor's wife. If you can pray in the Holy Ghost, begin to pray in the Holy Ghost right now. But I want us to pray a special anointing upon this couple. That God would give them fresh oil, fresh anointing. Come on, let's see it. Lead you with this scripture tonight. The Bible says in Luke chapter number 24 and verse number 49, says, "And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high." That word tarry simply means to wait or to remain in expectation. Church, every time that we come into this house, there ought to be an expectancy in our heart that God is going to do something mighty, not maybe not for me, but I'm expecting God to do something mighty for somebody before I leave this building. Pastor, would you come tonight? Amen. So thankful. So thankful for this church. This church has no idea what you mean to me and my family. I'm so thankful to be standing in an apostolic church tonight with people that are not ashamed to worship and with people that love to worship his name. Do you love the Lord tonight? Will you give him a hand clap of praise if you love him?
Amen. Let's lift our hands together right now. Jesus, we love you, Lord. Come on, give God praise. The Holy Ghost is in this room right now in the name of Jesus. Come on, sing that, baby. Come on, we need God to make us a house of prayer right now in the name of Jesus. Come on, somebody, cry out to the Lord. Come on, the angels of the Lord are in this house tonight. Come on, make that your prayer tonight before we're dismissed.
Make me a house of prayer.
Make me a house of prayer, dear God.
A house of prayer.
Lord,
make me a house.
Make me a house of prayer.
Make me a house of prayer.
Oh, hallelujah, Jesus.
A house
hallelujah,
of
Lord. Come on, make that your prayer right now.
house of prayer, Lord.
In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Lift your hands. I feel one more wave of the Spirit in this room right now. Come on, that's it right now. Just reach out and touch the Lord as He passes by right now. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Yeah. What a word we heard tonight. Thank the Lord for that word here tonight. Hallelujah. Let me say this. There are people here tonight who you've treated the devil casually. He only understands one language. He's a thief. He's a vile being. He's a killer. He's a destroyer. So he's always in aggression. He only understands a saint when they get aggressive back towards him. He'll let you live your life comfortable, patty cake through life, but the moment you take heaven by force, the moment you, the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man, of a righteous woman, it avails much. Some of you, I don't know how else to say it, but just say it. And I don't, it kind of sounds redneck, but let me just be redneck here. Sometimes the only thing the enemy understands is when you take him by the throat. Because there's people in this room, he's had you by the throat for a long time. And he's warred against your mind and your spirit. And you have to go on the offensive. The gates of hell shall not prevail. That's not the church being on defense. That's the church being on offense. They cannot come against the body of Christ. And you've got to make up in your mind, in your spirit, I refuse to let hell chokehold me any longer. I've got to put my hands around his neck. And not just around his neck, but I've got to chop off whatever it is that's holding me hostage. You can do that by the power of the Holy Ghost tonight. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Brother Kelso, for always delivering a timely word that's anointed of the Holy Ghost. And that's all we want in this house, is the anointing of the Spirit. The Bible says it destroys every yoke. Amen. We thank God. I feel the yoke's been broken. I can feel it in my soul. We thank God for the yoke being broken tonight. God is a good God. Amen. Amen. God bless you again tonight for being in service on a Sunday evening. So thankful you came. If you're a guest tonight, thank you for coming to the UPC of Paris. We're glad you're here tonight. God bless you. And we love you so much. Amen. Don't forget ladies' prayer Tuesday morning. Don't forget ladies unite in fellowship this week, Wednesday night, midweek prayer, 6:30, 7 o'clock worship. It's going to be a great, great week. Friday is trunk or treat. Amen. If you've not signed up, I don't want to say raise your hand because I'll call you out. Amen. But if you're not signed up, amen, we need some more volunteers. Amen. So go by the booth. It's our last night. Well, Wednesday night will be our last night to announce it. But I ask you, please, if you're not signed up, if you don't want to do a trunk, that's all right. Just come hang out from 6 to 8 and volunteer. We can tear down, set up, whatever it is. Just come be a part of something for a couple of hours. God bless you. We love you so much. And we'll see you back here Wednesday night. Lord willing, shake somebody's hand. You're dismissed. In Jesus' name.